a spirit-filled fellowship of believers located in Palm Bay, Florida.
Yeah, Psalm 51, verse 1. That's Psalm 51, verse 1. Thank you all for your help. Psalm 51, verse 1, this is the chief, to the chief musician, a praise, a psalm of David. When David fell, Nathan the prophet came to him and rebuked him because of his indiscretion with Bathsheba. Look at verse 1. I have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is always before me. Against you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts. We started the church on verse 6. And in the hidden part, you will make me to know wisdom. Verse 7, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me know, make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of my salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. Hallelujah. It is the prayer of the humbled who have fallen in their lives, who are not proud and say, I've never sinned, or I don't have anything to repent of. It is the prayer of the damned without redemption and a total dependence on God for restoration. Verse 6, behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part, you make me to know wisdom. I want to share with you, as we continue the series Cultivating Heart Light, from our prayer school or school of prayer, we began to deal with maintaining the open portal. The Lord is leading me to speak to our church in the main services on prayer, because he said there's not enough moisture in our church, especially among the men. The men have not built an altar, are not praying. We're working, we're driving, we're waxing our cars, we're bringing our money home, we're coming to church. But God said there's no moisture in the air. There is no moisture in the atmosphere. The men are not calling on my name. And so I've been tasked to preach that we need to cultivate heart light. The light now shines on a prayer of repentance. Today's message is entitled, Open the Way. Open the Way. If there was a subtopic, it would be barrier removing prayers. When you repent, you remove barriers that blocks abundance. Can the church say amen? Father, I give you praise and thanks for this moment, and I glorify your name, and I pray now that you will strengthen me to share the word as you've given me. Hide in us a clean heart, renew the right spirit within us, and thank you for a willingness and a humility that needs to come upon the people of God, especially those who feel like they have nothing to ask for forgiveness for. I pray that the spirit of repentance would rest upon our church. And those who will watch, I pray that pride that hinders presence and hinders repentance would diminish and humility would arise. And thank you for altars being built that will create and maintain the open portal. Repentance is the key. Forgive us this day, our daily. Forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and a day. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Faith's confession. This is my Bible. It is the word of God. It is God speaking to me, producing life in those who will hear it. I can do what it says I can do. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I choose to agree with the word of God, and I choose to disagree with any thought, I am diligent to act upon what is revealed to me through the word of God, which abides in my spirit. My heart is receptive and ready to receive. I can't quit. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, it's a good time to clap. You just confessed a prayer of confession, a statement of confession or faith over the word of God, that it would manifest in your life and produce righteousness, even the righteousness that leads us to repentance, so righteousness can continue to thrive and grow in our lives. If I was God, I would not have put this in the Bible. I certainly believe David never wanted it to be there, because it reveals something that happened in his life that was grotesque and evil. Not only did he mess up real bad, but he had the man that he messed up on killed. And when Nathan the prophet came to him and gave him a scenario of someone taking someone else's sheep, he said, the man who did that is worthy of death. Nathan looked at him and said, but you're the man. Because a lot of us like to point our finger at other people within a high pious mindset, even those that say they're hurt in church. They don't come to church because they got hurt, but when you peel back, their lives is full of all kinds of indiscretions and issues that are hidden. And God has given us the privilege of privacy. So much of the things that people don't know about us is hidden, is private. But even the secret things are known by the Lord. I have to preach the whole counsel of God, even if it slaps me in the face. God! I want you to slap yourself. Not literally. You like to point your finger at people. Ah! Smack yourself. I bet you won't laugh much, because this passage needs to hit everybody. This message is not just for the preachers and those who are visible. It's the ones who are hidden in the darkness. Nobody ever knows. God is trying to get rid of this pride in our church that hinders prayers. When we see other people sin, we want to flag it. We want to point at it. But when we pull back the curtain, there's all kinds of things going on in our own lives. Think about where you are. When David heard that he was the man, you know what he did? He said, have mercy on me. For you are good, and your mercy endures forever. There's something about worship here in the church. Most of the time, our worship leaders don't know what I'm about to preach. They know nothing about what I was going to say today. They ended worship with, "Lord, you are good, and your mercy endures forever." We start with the text, "Have mercy upon me." I used to hear the song, "It's me, it's me, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my mother nor my father, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my sister, not my brother, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, it's me, it's me. Have mercy on me, O God. I stand in the need of prayer and I need mercy according to your love and kindness. According to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my grotesque transgression and wash me thoroughly from my own iniquities." Stop the pointing of the finger, because every time you point fingers at someone else, you got five pointing at you. "Cleanse me from my sins, my sins, my sins." Here's the king humbling himself before the Lord. We're not talking about a regular guy. We're talking about a poet. We're talking about a man who killed Goliath. We're talking about a man who brought 200 foreskins of the Philistines. We're talking about a man who at Ziklag was able to gain his strength and pursue after his family was taken in his youth. We're talking about a man who took Goliath's own sword and took off his head. We're talking about a man who took down a giant with a sling. We're talking about a man who went into many battles and came back unscathed, not because of his power, not because of his might, but because God anointed him to do it. And many of us are where we are today, not because we're just all of that, but God put something on you. He allowed his presence to rest on us. He took us through hell and high water and brought us out on the other side because he loves us and he's got a job for us to do. Nobody should be looking and pointing an ecclesiastical finger at anybody else and saying, "You're a sinner. Get yourself together. Why you up out of our church? You don't know what time it is. We don't need you. Get your mind together." We all need repentance. We started our church on verse 6. "Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts." That's the passage that God gave me when we opened up this church, and he's reminding me truth revealed is tied to Psalm 51 verse 6. Let truth, let the light of his counsel, let heart light shine in this dark area of the need for repentance, not just when you get saved, but every time you pray, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." This is something that should be in the plank and the foundation of who you are as a believer, that we all stand in the need of prayer. You desire truth to be truth in the inward parts. You want truth to be in my heart. You want the light of truth to shine in my heart, in those dark areas, in those chambers that have been closed off. And in the hidden place of my soul, make me to know wisdom. Enlighten my heart. Purge me. Purge me with hyssop. That's why I like peroxide in the womb, because when you put peroxide, that it sizzles. We need peroxide in our hearts. That foam just starts sizzling because God needs to purge some of us. We got some deep scars and some stuff in our lives that God wants to go deeper in our soul. Purge us from hyssop. If we got transgressions that have lashed from your youth, you yield to the enemy in your youth, and now we're 40, 50, and 60, and 70 years old, and we still battle with these things. We need God to go deeper in our hearts. Let truth be revealed in the inward parts, in the hidden hidden part. Make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. I shall be clean, whiter than snow. For you are cleansed through the word that I've spoken over you. But purge me. That word that's spoken over you needs to go in and sizzle in your soul. Let the light of his counsel, of his word, bring that cleansing to your heart. So you can hear the joy and gladness again. And the bones that were broken because unrepentant sin always breaks bones. It breaks frames. It weakens structures. Hide your face. Turn away your face from my sin. For against you and you only, look at the man's heart, have I sinned. Repentance to God on a regular basis keeps us in the posture of humility. If you don't ask God to forgive you, I'm telling you now, what starts erecting in your soul is pride. One of the reasons why I'm able to last for 31 years here in, as a pastor of this church that started in our living room, is because I never think highly of myself as it relates to me. I know that I'm a dusty frame. I know that I shouldn't be here. I know that I stand in need of the Lord. And if I could sing, I would say, I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour, I need thee. Bless me now, my Savior. I've come to thee. Say it with me, Lord, I need thee. You got to keep that in your soul. I don't care how well I minister or how well people are blessed. I know I'm a dusty frame. I know that there are more years behind me than there are ahead of me. I know my job. I know that I have to be real with myself. And that repentance keeps me humble and dependent on God. Be not like Solomon, who was different from his father David. David repented, but you'll never see any passages where Solomon said, Lord, I'm sorry. He said, give me wisdom. And once he got it, he said, now I can take it from here. And many of you, oh, give me an education. Give me status. Give me this job. Let me rise. Let people respect me. All of the naysayers know that I'm better than I was. I'll take it from here now, God. I really don't need to repent. I don't need to say nothing. God knows my heart. Listen, all of us stand in need of the Lord. Don't be the wise one who becomes a fool. And the wiser you are in yourself, the more foolish you are before the Lord. You could be standing in the midst and be naked and not know it. Somebody tell the king that he don't have on clothes. Somebody tell the queen that she's naked. She's out there flowing, but she doesn't understand she's naked before the Lord. It's not about dwelling on guilt. I believe it's not about condemnation, but it's really about knowing where you fail and how fragile we are, and not trusting where you fail short of God's glory and turning back to him when you acknowledge your sin instead of babying it. Say, Lord, I need thee. I believe our church needs to go into moments of repentance. When is the last time you came to the altar without being invited? Well, that's the measure of the pride in our lives. I don't know when I came to the altar. That ain't me. For every young man, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. Before the evil day comes. When is the last time you said, I'm going to go to the altar because I need? I noticed there was a man that joined our church in 1999, and we had hard floors in the building that we occupied. And I noticed in prayer meeting, he would always come to prayer and be on the way on the other side somewhere kneeling, and he wouldn't get up for an hour, kneeling on those hard concrete floors. And I asked him one day, why do you kneel like that? He said, when I think about all of the hell I took people through. When I was in New York, I had 3 guns put in my face, and I told him to shoot it. I was that foolish. Go ahead and shoot it. I had no fear of death, and God protected me. Can't tell you how many men I knocked out, and God protected me, and he saved me from myself. I've got to give him thanks. And since 1999, before he does any work in this ministry, he always comes and kneels before he does the work. How many of us are drawn to the altar? How many of us say, Lord, I need thee? How many of us say, I'm not just going to church and I'm going to shake everybody's hand, but really get on knees. Take your good knees, and kneel before the Lord. So we can get God's grace flowing in our lives, and presence will return. His presence will return. I believe repentance keeps our hearts aligned before the Lord. Alignment with God is so important. It keeps God's will fresh in us. It clears away barriers. Anything that blocks repentance clears away barriers in your relationship with him and allows the grace that he's given us to flow, to be transformed continually in his presence. Prayer of repentance is confession, acknowledging sin and seeking cleansing and seeking restoration. Acknowledging sin, not looking over your sin and magnifying others. I said all of us need to acknowledge our sins. Amen. So close your eyes. Think about sin. What popped up in your mind? Okay, that's it right there. I don't have nothing. That thing that popped up in your mind, ask him to touch you. 1 John chapter 1 verse 9, this should be on the screen in a moment. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What is the caveat? You must what? Say it. I must confess. Just like you confessed your confession of faith, you must confess your sins. Now, if you say, well, I have no sin, the Bible says you have no truth in you. There's nothing true in you if you say, I have no sins. I believe the Lord is leading me. I looked at in the prayer school of prayer, how many different prayers are there? And he gave me 12 different ones. And the third one on the list, we did the prayer of worship and adoration, the prayer of thanksgiving. Glory follows gratitude. Now he's talking about the prayer of repentance. It's a prayer that all of us need to engage in. From the preacher to the man out there parking cars, everybody needs to ask God for forgiveness. It will stop pride. It will stop you from saying, I ain't shaking her hand. I'm not talking to him anymore. It will shake you. It will humble you, keep you humble before the Lord. Blot out my transgressions. Forgive me of my transgressions as I forgive those who trespassed against me. If we confess it, he's faithful and just to forgive us of it and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. That's 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. This is the beloved John, Psalm 51. We read out of it. We're going to camp out with two messages on that today. Chronicles 7 and 14, 2 Chronicles. If my people would humble themselves, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn, I will hear, I will forgive, and I will heal. Hear, forgive, and heal. The purpose of repentance removes barriers that can hinder the open portal.
Thanks for joining us for the Word of Truth Revealed. If you were blessed by today's message, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at thewordoftruth@truthrevealed.org.
Florida's 2026 back-to-school sales tax holiday is officially set for July 20th through August 20th. For an entire month, you can shop smart and save big with tax-free deals on clothing, shoes, personal computers, and select accessories. As you gear up for the new school year, consider picking up a few extra tax-free supplies for our upcoming back-to-school drive at TR Main on Saturday, August 1st at 10 a.m. Drop your donations in the bins in the Fellowship Hall anytime this month to help ensure every child in our community starts the year blessed and prepared. Men, get ready to elevate your faith journey starting Sunday, August 2nd at 6 p.m. We are diving into No More Excuses by Tony Evans. This, grab your copy of the book and secure your spot today, online or in the TR app.
Again, thank you for joining us and have a blessed day.
Serving the Space Coast with the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, you are tuned in to 1510 AM, WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, Merritt Island, Titusville, and the beaches. FM 94.7.
Independence, liberty, autonomy. All those words mean freedom. But what does freedom mean?
To many people, freedom just means the absence of any restraint. No political restraint, no moral restraint, no spiritual restraint from the Word of God. Just do what you like.
Billy Graham knew there's more to freedom than just doing what you like. And God's provided a way for you to know what that more is.
The Bible is a book which over and over uses the word freedom and liberty. It indicates that God is concerned that people be free, not only spiritually free, but in every way. But it also indicates that men and women will only be free in the knowledge of God. Put your faith and confidence in Him, and He will set you free in a way that you've never known before.
We can tell you about that freedom at our website, findpeacewithgod.net. That's findpeacewithgod.net. We're the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association.